Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team.
Today's video is brought to you by Predictable Revenue's service LinkedIn Outbound. Find out how we can leverage and grow your existing LinkedIn network to book meetings into your calendar at the link below. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by Michael Maximoff, and we are talking deliverability. He happens to be, like myself, somebody who's built a team that helps companies with outbound sales, but he's also built this really cool deliverability tool that we're going to talk a little bit about at the end. And I suspect we're going to explore, well, I know we're going to explore email deliverability along the way. So if you want to check out the tool, fast forward to the end, jump. He's got some really cool stuff he's working on. But yeah, for now, let's get to the episode. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, Colin. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited. This is, it's something that we've talked about email deliverability. Our Outbound Labs team has on YouTube has posted some of our findings, some of our tests. I think across the board, we're seeing email deliverability getting harder and harder and harder every year. And so I think it's something that we always need to be looking at revisiting. How do we do a better job of this?
We started out working on email deliverability back into 2017. Before that, it was, you know, like much easier just to send out emails. The spam filters were not that sophisticated, right? But then, like after 2017, something just clicked. And whenever you set up a new domain or just start a campaign, you always end up in spam. So we start working on that. We even had a dedicated team back then that were fixing spam manually. And over the years, we sort of build the process. We get all the details of that, of all this like understands of the process, and we're able successfully to build and maintain a very high standing reputation for us and for our clients. And you know, I'll be happy to share the findings or sort of my recommendation into how you can have your healthy sending reputation on a daily basis always high, basically.
Beautiful. I think we can all have a pretty good understanding of why it's important. Basically, if you don't have great email deliverability, your emails aren't making it through, and you're not going to be getting into the inboxes. So walk me through, like, I understand there's the basics, and then there's like the more advanced masterclass. So just for somebody who's tuning in that doesn't know anything about email deliverability, what are the basics that most people get wrong or need to pay attention to?
Right. So, you know, the email deliverability, right? What is it? It's a process of sending a message or a code from sender to a recipient, right? But when you do that, you don't realize how complex the process is and how many variables are in the process. So it's not just simply hitting the bottom. It's more like the software checks multiple filters, multiple sort of things for the sender and for the recipient to determine that this is a solid email. There's no phishing, no sort of scamming or whatsoever. And then, you know, it's a good reputation of the sender, and then you can receive it. So let me kind of give you an example. So, when many people are dealing with email deliverability, you always think that, you know, hey, for me, it's kind of simple to send an email. I mean, like, I have my email service provider like Gmail or Outlook, right? I buy this tool, HubSpot or Outreach, you know, or name it, right? Like, and then I connect the tool, just go to settings, I connect it, and then just, you know, and then I have, hey, it's connected. I can start sending out emails, so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, sometimes it might happen that, for example, you know, you start hitting spam folder, and then you say, hey, you know, what's the reason? I mean, like, I have a clean list, for example, I have a good message, why I'm hitting spam folder? And then you realize, or you didn't realize, but eventually it is, that some of your settings are off because you didn't update your SPF record somewhere in your hosting domain panel, so that it caused the problem. So the Google spam filter said that you are not authorized to use Outreach or HubSpot to send this email. And then you're like, man, but how could I know about that? I thought that these tools figured everything out. But the thing is that there are so many tools, there are so many things that are happening while sending out emails that sometimes they cannot integrate all of that, right? So there's no like one-click integration. So you need to do an extra step. And now you need always do extra step with email deliverability to make sure that your emails are delivered. And then, you know, by talking about that kind of process, it, you know, it takes a lot. I mean, you need to have your domain set up. You need to have your email service set up. You need to have your tools set up. You need to have clean list. You have to nail your message, and so on and so forth. So there are a lot of things that are, you know, happening at once to make sure that your email is delivered from point A to point B, if that makes sense.
Totally. It's the, yeah, without getting too deep into the details, it's a complicated issue where you can be blocked on the sending side, you can be blocked in the middle, you can be blocked on the receiving side. And so when we're talking about some of those basic things that people need to pay attention to, what are those, what are the like first couple things that you look at if somebody's having deliverability issues?
All right. So first we wanted to analyze like what's going on with the domain, right? I mean, what's the current situation? Sometimes folks just send too many emails and they just happen to be blacklisted, right? But some, very popular blacklists, right? So you just say, hey, what are those blacklists? And can you whitelist yourself or not, right? Then you go down and say, okay, so has been my email addresses affected and what email addresses I'm using for outreach or just for communicating? Because, you know, it happens that you send an email to your client and then your client didn't receive your email and then you ping them again and they say, hey, I didn't receive the message. And they go to their junk folder and there you are. And you're like, well, how I can get there, right? And the reason might be, as again, this is just sort of like a step back, right? But the reason might be that you attached a document that was like 5 megabytes or something, right? And the email service provider that your client uses has this spam filter that blocks all the emails that have higher size than, let's say, 2 megabytes or something, right? So eventually they don't just pass the emails through, right? So, and then you cannot just overcome that, right? So that's why sort of when you do the outbound marketing, you need to do a very like plain text based sort of outreach without sort of like, you know, like HTMLs, attachments, links, fancy signatures, all of that, right? But the point that I'm making is that, so you check your domain, then you check your ESP, right? Then you kind of check, okay, what tools I'm using and how those tools are talking to my domain and how these tools are talking to ESP. And the first problem that we see always that folks have DNS records set up wrong. And then for those who doesn't know, right? So DNS are the records that you basically set up when you set up the domain for the first time for your company. And then when you connect that to ESP, you go to so if you're using GoDaddy, you go to GoDaddy, you click on the settings, the DNS, and you have all of those records there. And there are a lot of instructions out there for help you to set up, right? But what folks don't realize is that one of those records, the SPF, or let me check what's the name. So SPF stands for
Sender Policy Framework.
Yeah. And what it does, it sort of like authorize your the tool that you are using to use your domain for sending out emails, for example, or vice versa, basically. So the point is that when you have your SPF records set up initially, you just put your ESP like Google or Outlook there, right? But then when you use another tool like HubSpot, right, you need to take their SPF record of HubSpot and put that SPF record to your domain so that they're both records, so that you basically tells the recipient that you authorize this HubSpot with that IP to use your domain and your IP to sending out emails, sort of like a home address, basically. And that's the problem, right? Because sometimes you like say, okay, well, I have like 5 tools and all of those 5 tools, I have HubSpot, I have MixMax, I have Pardot. So do I need to put all of those there? Yeah, you need to put all of them. But then the problem is that if you put more than 4 or more than 5, then it might create the conflict. So then you say, okay, I need to like, you know, I need to under 5. And then if you have more than 5, then you need to sort of like have 2 domains or kind of, because there'll be a conflict and then it's going to be a problem. So I mean, like the SPF is something that folks really kind of miss. And then the MARC records. So there are like 4 records. There's SPF, the MARC, the KIM, and there's another one called DIMI. That's the new record. Do you know about DIMI, Colin?
No, I actually don't know anything about DIMI.
So DIMI is the new record that was released like a few months ago, maybe like 6 months ago or something. This is like the next version to the DMARC that they actually use together. So what you do with BIMI basically is that you put your company logo in a SVG format And then you basically, whenever your recipient receives an email from you, they also, they you know that they have this company logo there. And that's the extra sort of verification to make sure that they can prevent from phishing and from fake emails and from scammers and spammers and so on and so forth. And now it also affects the email deliverability. So if you have Beanie, then the Google will have a higher email deliverability. If you don't have Beanie, then your email deliverability will be a bit lower. So that's, you know, things that a lot of folks miss just basically, yeah. So the DNS records is really, really important, right? And then, you know, and then like how you send emails, right? Like, I mean, there are like two types of outreach, right? There is sort of like inbound outreach or like newsletter-based outreach where you talk to your subscribers list, right? And there is the outbound outreach, right? And that's why there are so many tools like Outreach, Lemlist, Reply, Mailshake, and other that were built specifically to help marketers and sellers to fake those drip campaigns as if they were like manual email sent, right? And many people don't realize that, you know, you cannot just send like 500 emails or 1,000 emails per mailbox because that doesn't work that way. So you have a certain limit in terms of how many emails you send, right? So we've seen many times that folks just end up straight in email in the spam folder just because they exceed that limit, right? So you need to get to, let's say, we personally are using I think up to 200 per mailbox, actually, with about 150 to 200 seconds delay between emails. What do you guys use?
Is that a per day basis?
It's per day, yeah.
Yeah, and is that through Gmail or on Google Apps?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're somewhere in the like 200, maybe 250 range as sort of a maximum that you want to be sending per email account. But that really depends on like, that's sort of like fully ramped once you've had a chance to earn a little bit of reputation. I wouldn't do that on a brand new domain that I just created.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So that's another thing, right? That the warm up that thanks for that you mentioned this, that's also very important because I mean, every time that we did the new campaign for a new client in the agency, we warm up the sort of like the domain first, the mailbox. So we started out by sending 10 emails, then 15, then 25, 50, 75, 100, and then making few weeks, 100 emails, and then, you know, more and more and more, and checking the sending reputation. And now when we built Folderly, we added this feature inside so that you don't need to manually do that. You just kind of click on warm up, new domain, new mailbox, warm up Outlook, warm up Gmail, warm up Bing, fired up. Okay, you forget it for a week or 2 weeks and it's always warm up. And that's actually helps a lot because the manual work, it doesn't work because, you know, what did you use? You sent an email among your colleagues first and then they were responding and something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so how are you doing that on your side? You're sending emails back and forth to a bunch of verified domains that are like responding back. And so it's warming it up automatically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the features that we build is like automated warm-ups. So we kind of, so we have hundreds and hundreds different authorized domains and that are connected to Gmail or Outlook or Bing or Yahoo or Apple, iCloud or something, right? And we kind of, one of the processes, there are multiple processes, but one of the processes is that we kind of connect you connect your mailbox to this engine that on the front end you have your mailbox, on the back end you have those 1,000 mailboxes. And then our script automatically sent out the email with your template in it to those bunch of those mailboxes. And our script goes to those mailboxes, go to, for example, spam folder or go to the inbox, respond to that, marks it important, saves that or archives that. And then, so it's like a constant sort of like engagement going on. And then it creates that sort of like warm-up process where you can see your sending reputation growing.
Very cool. I love that. Okay. And so we've talked a little bit about ramping up new domains, obviously something you don't want to just jump in there cold. So you're around 150 to 200 emails per domain or per email account.
Yeah.
Per mailbox. And how many mailboxes per domain are you using?
Actually, we've seen that it doesn't matter. I mean, we've seen that when you just set up a domain, it's better if you send, let's say, like 10,000 emails or 15 and then just increase that. But, you know, it is difficult. I mean, we are trying to use multiple domains if we need, like, but when you warm up a domain, you can send 50,000, 100,000 emails, so on and so forth. So we don't necessarily limit ourselves with regards to how many mailboxes we need to set up per domain. We usually set up, let's say, 5, 10, 15, 20, as many as we need, right? So it's, you know, it's actually, I mean, when you, it's actually interesting because when you track your SANG reputation per mailbox and you see that all of those mailboxes that you're using have this healthy SANG reputation, there's no way you can blacklist your domain just because basically the domain is the next step after the mailbox, right? So usually folks first kill their mailboxes with blacklist and with spam, and then it goes to the domain. So that is why they're not kind of associated every time. They just, that's the next level, basically, if that makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, I follow you. Interesting. Excuse me. And so for, if you're running this for a client, you've got say two different domains, just one as a backup, but then you're, you've got 5 to 10 email accounts per, and you're sending on top of Gmail.
Yeah, we can send Gmail, Outlook. I mean, we are using a bunch of different tools like Outreach, Reply, Limelist, Mailshake, HubSpot, right? Have all of those. And based on the client, obviously, but yeah, we simply kind of connect, let's say Gmail to Outreach and then to our Folderly tool, and then just send out emails, and then they all three work together, right? So we, you send email from Gmail through Outreach, and then Folderly test both Gmail and Outreach, and then everything works, and then you can go to Salesforce, and then it also goes to Salesforce, and you have those five tools basically talking together. So that's actually cool. So,
gotcha. Do you find one provider has better deliverability than another? Like, does Gmail have better deliverability than Office 365 or anything like that?
It's a great question. So what we've seen is that Gmail is the first sort of like main spam filters that blocks emails altogether every time. So it's the most like severe with regards to email deliverability. And Outlook or Office 365 is more like light. But the thing is that when you use Office 365 and you connect it to Outreach and you use Office 365 servers, then it's almost impossible for your Office 365 clients to block your emails. But Gmail blocks you like this, right? So sort of like, so it's important because it's interesting because when you look at your database then and you say that, okay, so I have 100 leads, and you can use like a tool called Hunter.io or any other tool, there are multiple, to check which MX records your leads have based on their email address, based on their domain, basically, so that you basically, you can test the email address. And then when you test it, if it's bounced or not bounced, right? Like if it's bounced or catch all or valid or invalid or something, you can get their Emacs record. And in that Emacs record, you have this, their ESP. So you see that whether they have Gmail or they have, whether they have Office 365, right? So then when you check your email deliverability and you say that, okay, so 25% of my emails, Gmail marks as spam, what I do, then you see this database and you say that, okay, but I mean, 85% of my clients use Office 365, so I'm okay, right? I don't need to be, hey, you know, I have this 25% spam because your clients use Office 365. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, right? When you see that that you have problem with Gmail and, or you say, hey, my Office 365 is okay, blah, 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 but then most of your customers use Gmail and you have problems with Gmail. So you're gonna end up in spam folder. So
it's interesting. I've seen something similar, Office 365 to 365, but I haven't seen it Gmail to Gmail. And I thought it would be the same on Gmail side, but it seems like Office 365 treats it like almost more like an internal email, and Gmail treats it like, I don't care where it came from, you're a stranger to me. It doesn't matter if you're sent from Gmail or Office 365. So it sounds like same on your side.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Gmail actually blocks everyone. It's like it just blocks it, you know, just every day, just block. And it's interesting because they actually block. I mean, I receive YouTube notifications to my spam folder, actually. It's like,
yeah. I get crazy stuff. Google, like stuff coming from Google. Google sends the spam.
Exactly, like YouTube, Google's platform, and they just go to
totally. It's clearly a very hard problem, and I think at the moment they've probably overcorrected. Like in the last 2 years, they overcorrected. Like it's too tight, where like you're getting a lot of legitimate mail going to spam.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's difficult to fix because I mean, how many billion Gmail customers or Gmail or G Suite customers there are out there? It's like billions of those, right? It's one of the. It's like 25% of traffic, email traffic, goes from and to Gmail, so, or 30% or something. So it's billions. So you can imagine that if they change a setting or something, it's good. You know, like a few weeks ago, and that happening a lot of the time recently because of the pandemic and all of it, like Google servers are just dropping every time. So sometimes, you know, you do the drip campaign and then the emails are not delivered, and then your vendors say, hey, sorry, we're experiencing difficult problems or issues with Google or AWS servers. So it's failing, right? And I can imagine that they are not very eager to update their sending reputation policy just because they are afraid that it is too big for now right now. So if we change something, that's it. It's like, you know, when you kind of, when you launch something into space, right? Why you say that in space industry, everything that they're sending out in the space is outdated, so that you basically have their computers that are, you know, 15 years back or something. It's just because they, you know, spend too much time and too much resources to testing that, right? So they cannot keep up with the technology. So I think that that's the same with Google, right? And with their sending reputation.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah. I can't speculate, because I the one thing I am sure of is that all of the people that are working on deliverability at Gmail or Google are smarter than me. So I'm definitely right. I'm not in the game of trying to trick them.
Well, I hope Google cannot hear this. Guys, yeah. I really respect you so much. Don't sure. block me, please. Don't block me, please, tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, you're going down. So talk to me about the contents of the email and how that can impact your deliverability.
Right. So we've seen many times that folks don't understand the difference between HTML-based email and plain text email. And sometimes they're sending like newsletters. I mean, they, you know, that you secure this list with very targeted contacts that you bought somewhere, right? And you say, hey, these are great customers. I'm sending the updates from my company. And it's very nice email, very structured with a lot of pictures, the logo. And then you end up in spam. And then the reason for that is that when you're talking about HTML versus a plain text email, you need to know what kind of marketing channel are you using, right? If you are sending cold unsolicitation, cold email unsolicitation, right? Then you use plain text, right? So plain text, I mean like just simple text. I mentioned this, right? That no fancy signature, no URLs, no images, no nothing that would increase the size of the email as well as trigger any spam filters, right? And then vice versa, right? When you use like MailChimp or you have your people that subscribe for your, you know, for your list, and then you can send a newsletter. But at the end of the day, it's like, what is the result that you want to achieve, right? With the plain text, usually it's a sort of like a call to action email, right? So you sign up, you send an email, it's sort of personalized. You say, hey, I want to talk, I want to engage with this, tell me your feedback. And to a newsletter, it's more like educational format, right? Like, hey, this is what we did, this is what's going on, read it, benefit from it, that's it. So so that is why, I mean, I see that many folks use tools for HTML outreach for their drip campaigns over their outbound marketing, right? So, and the vice versa, right? So for example, so that is why the reality is that you need to have tools for your outbound team and you need to have tools for your marketing team. Those tools that are HTML, they need to be HTML. And then those tools that have plain text-based outreach, they should be plain text. So you need to differentiate themselves. You can't just have one tools for both. And that's why I personally don't like send out emails from HubSpot directly. And you know that they have that feature that you can do both. And yeah. When I talk to some clients, they say, well, we use HubSpot for our drip campaigns. And I was like, you know, I mean, HubSpot and sending through their servers, not from the Gmail servers, it's probably can cause some problems. Yeah, so.
Yeah, yeah, totally fair. One thing that kind of came to mind just before we jump to sort of spam filters in general, SSL, you know, we talked about DNS records and like SBF, DKIM, DMARC, BIMI, this new one. Do you know if SSL has any bearing? Like if my website has an SSL certificate, do you know if that's impacted at all?
Do you think that there are folks that don't have SSL yet?
Who knows?
I think that actually must have, right?
Right. I've been seeing people create like sending domains. Where they're just sending off of them.
Right, and they don't have SSL.
Yeah.
You know, I actually, it's a great question. I don't know actually, but I think that it might affect, because at the end of the day, when you set up a domain, right, and you have those records in the domain, you kind of, you know, you put a lot of different sort of like settings in with this text format and all of that. And I think that SSL is important because with regards to the setting group data, I think yes, but I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
So when you, if you create a second, a domain for yourselves, like if you're creating a sending domain for yourself or for a client, are you adding SSL on it?
Of course, yeah, yeah. Because okay. You know why? Because we do redirect. We do a 301 redirect to the main website. So it's like whenever someone Google Belkins.com, they go to Belkins.io main website, right? And yeah. Vice versa. And the reason for that is that, you know, for the customer, they don't need to see the difference between your main website and your subsidiary website that you're using for outreach because, you know, for them, that's the same company. That's the reason that you want to achieve. Or that's what you want to achieve, right? It's like to build the brand, right? To put your name in front of the customer. And then if they know that you're using some drip campaign sort of like website, it might cause some problems. So we put SSL. It costs like $5, right? Or something.
If you use Let's Encrypt, it's free. So right. It costs you nothing. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. I was curious about that. I hadn't, it was just something that kind of came to mind that I suspect like most, this probably doesn't impact most people, but if you are creating secondary domains and you don't know about SPF, you probably don't know about SSL or how to create a free certificate.
Yeah. You know what is cool? I just sort of like pop up in my head. So when you create this subsidiary domain, right, and you connect them to some mailbox and you start sending out emails, what a lot of people do is that, you know, you have like 5-10 email addresses that you're using for outreach. And you don't want to log into each and one of those email addresses all the time. So what you do, you set up this automatic forwarding, right? Say, hey, my main email address will receive all these incoming emails from all of those bunch of subsidiary email addresses. And I'm going to be just sending out or responding from my one, right? So I'm controlling one central email address and then all of those subsidiaries just sending out emails, right? We've seen that actually, if you do that, the chance that your subsidiary email addresses will go to spam is like 50%, 75% higher. So really? The reason is that Google tracks the engagements. So basically, it detects how often do you use that email address both ways, to send out emails, to receive emails, and to respond to those emails. So how the conversations, what you're having, the conversation that you're having. And that is why what we do and what we recommend, if you're really using those extra or additional email addresses for sending out emails, please make sure that you can respond and engage with your customer through those addresses, at least to the point when you set up a call or work with objections or something like that. And don't forward everything to the main one, just because if you don't have engagements, the chance that you go to spam and your email deliverability will be very, very low all the time because of those engagements. And that's kind of engagement stuff was start happening, I think, a year ago after their second or third update to their sending reputation or something.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. We don't do that internally or recommend that. So it's great to know because I have heard of people doing that. You know what? There is actually something, but I don't think like outreach, you can have two. And I think SalesLoft is the same. You can have two sending accounts, but I think SalesLoft and outreach, they check them both. So you wouldn't have that issue. We've talked a little bit about, you know, the content of the email. I want to give you a chance to, I want to make sure we save some room at the end to talk a little bit about what Folderly does. I'm going to grill you with the cold call, which is always fun. But let's talk about the sort of spam filters in general. Walk me through, you know, we kind of alluded to it at the beginning of the email, but walk me through what happens when I send an email.
Okay. So when you send an email, I actually have this great sort of like scheme or something, or like a chart that we did for one of my webinars. Let me try to find it for you real quick. Just give me a second here. But just give me.
Yeah, no problem. We take your time. Okay, stuff like this is the best. And we can all, if you're listening and you're not watching, I'll upload this to something and add it in the show and add a link in the show notes so you can check
it out. Yeah, that's awesome. You know what? We are watching this, right? So I can kind of, can you do screen sharing right now?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I can do it. Okay, cool. So I did actually the whole webinar about this email deliverability. You can check it out on my YouTube channel basically. But can you see my screen?
Yep, got it.
That's awesome. Okay, so basically, you know, what is email deliverability, right? So you are a sender, right? You send out emails. So the first thing that's happening is that the key records that you have are adding to the header of your sending server. Okay. So it's sort of like an address of, you know, where you are, you know, emailing it from, you know, so that it has your IP, it has your domain, it has your ESP, all of that, you know, interesting stuff. And then the email is sent to the recipient. So only when it's triggered, only then the email is actually sent. So if something is off with your DKIM, your email is actually even not sent. So if you don't have your DKIM records sent, right, that the email will probably not be even sent or something. So then the email is sent, right, to the sender, and then the first standard verification happening, right? So you have sending reputation, you have blacklist, so on and so forth. So that's the email starts checking in, like, what is the sending reputation? What are the IP blacklists? So it's just pinging the blacklist to see, is it blacklisted? Not cool. Okay, moving on. And then, so the next step will be after this standard verification is done and everything is okay. So the process is like, so there is a DKIM extraction and verification, there is an SPF extraction and verification, and then application of the relevant DMARC policies. Okay, so that's the checking and applying of DMARC policies, because DMARC basically it's including all of that. So it's sort of like it's a record that includes the SPF, the DKIM, and it talks to you saying that is it SPF okay? Yeah, it's okay. Is DKIM okay? Yeah, it's okay. So that it's kind of that whole complex process. And then based on what DMARC reports, so if DMARC reports saying that okay, everything is great, right? Then the next steps are, the email is bypassed basically. So it goes to, you know, to the next step. And then the next step is like spam filter. So that's the last step. So the spam filter is actually something that is just happening right at the very end of the process. And the spam filter is like, it's an extra security gateway that, for example, Office 365 has, the Gmail has one, and other email service providers has that. So it's sort of like it, and those spam filters can be different. So you can actually set up the spam filter for yourself. So you can set up like, hey, I don't want to receive emails that have sort of like free in them, or I don't want to receive an email from Belkins.io, for example, right? And then the spam filter will trigger and say, you know what, Belkins, I'm sorry, you will not, you know, not be able to send this email to. And that's interesting because a lot of enterprise companies have their IT team set up this smart spam filtering system where, if you send like, let's say, 7 simultaneous emails to a bunch of different people with the same message, then it blocks all these messages and it's there, any one of those messages is delivered. So that is why the recommendation that we usually tell our SDRs is that when you approach the enterprise company and you want to email a bunch of people, please be sure that you personalize each and every message, or send, let's say, 2 emails at a time. Mm-hmm. And then the other 2 emails. So never email a bunch of folks at the same time, because there is a high probability that all of your emails will be stopped by spam filter, because all of them are happening at once with the same content addressing multiple people. So it's probably unsolicitation. Mm-hmm. So the last step will be sort of like a spam check, and if everything great, then your recipient receives your email. If some of your DNS records are off, then the email can be either quarantined or rejected. And then when it's quarantined or rejected, then you receive a rejected report. So you say, hey, this email wasn't delivered because this, this, and this, and this. And you receive this soft bounce report, right? So you receive this email back with some code and some market, so on and so forth. But the interesting thing that is happening is that the results are added to a spam filter database, right? So it means that the more emails are not delivered, the more sending reputation is harmed, so that the chance that you deliver your subsequent emails is lower. So that is why it's really, really important for you to have a very clean sending reputation, because if you start harassing your domain, if you start harassing the spam filter, it starts harassing you, and you will be screwed basically.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the process. Beautiful. Any questions, Colin, the process? Yeah. I think it's pretty straightforward, no?
Yeah, thank you for that. Interesting. So thanks so much for that, for the graphic there, and send that to me and I'll make sure we get it uploaded, so people that couldn't see it will actually can click on a link and check out the show notes, and get that sorted. And so, I want to give you a chance to sort of talk a little bit about Folderly, but can you talk to me a little bit about the, common mistakes that you see people make?
Right. So the common mistakes that people have, right? Okay. So the first thing, right? Like DNS records are off. Okay. So you don't set up your DNS records. Please make sure you set up your DNS records in SPF, right? Then don't warm up their email addresses, right? Warm them up first. Okay. So you warm them up. Then keep limits in mind, right? Like 200 emails per day per mailbox or something, or 150 or 250. There's a range there, but you know, don't send 500 or 750, right?
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. Then send plain text emails to the outbound audience, and then HTML to the inbound, or plain text to the inbound. But you know, don't do the HTML outreach and send HTML drip campaigns, because you're going to be screwed for sure.
Totally.
That's it. Then, you know, clean your database, right? I mean, obviously the bounce rate is important. I've mentioned in this sending process that if your email is not delivered because the email doesn't exist, then your email, then basically this, the spam filter is gets resolved about it. So the more bounced emails you send out. So if your bounce, you know, if your bounce rate is, let's say 10 to 20%, well, then your sending reputation will be really low, right? So you need to make sure that your bounce rate is really, really, really low. And then send engagement. So have engagements. So don't, you know, use just a sort of like a subsidiary mailbox for send out, use them for engagements as well. So we have engagements. That's it. Don't use spam words, right? I mean, check your email for the spam words. Don't use, there is a list of, I don't know, like there is like 1,000 spam words or 2,000 spam words right now. And then like free,
free Viagra.
Promotion, money, growth, you know, something like that, which is like, there are a lot of those. And sometimes the rest of those, like, you know, like, for example, you can say free is a spam, but you can say complimentary, right? So, and that it's not spam. So, yeah. So that's it. Yeah, spam words. And then don't include links, attachments, and so on and so forth to your email address. Don't do that. Because, you know, sometimes people put an email, say, hey, check my website, click on the link here. And you just link the word here. And then the spam filter will say, I mean, are you kidding me right now? I mean, it can be like, you know, it can be like sort of like a phishing or something. And it you click on that, and then it crashes your laptop, and then all your bank information is stolen, right? All of that. So don't click on those things. And no one is clicking. I mean, I never click, and I never add the link and the attachments, because the email size can be too heavy for the spam filter. So make sure that your email is very short, you know, to the point, and it has a very low size, so that most of your spam filters are able to, you know, to send it, let it through, basically. Yeah.
Fantastic. I think that's great advice. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Want to give you, I move to my favorite segment, which is your chance to promote, my chance to torture you. let's do a cool call role play. Tell me who your target buyer is for Folderly. And what's the persona? What type of company?
Okay, so my buyer person, one of my buyer persona is marketing agencies or lead generation agencies like Predictable Revenue. So I want to call Predictable Revenue. I want to call Colin and pitch you my software. Okay.
All right. Sounds great. Ring ring. Hey, this is Colin.
Hey Colin, this is Mike calling with Folderly. Got a minute?
Sure.
Listen, I received an email from your colleague, Sarah, and it ended up in my spam folder, to be honest with you. And we actually built a platform that helps marketing companies like yourself to bypass spam filters and get to the inbox. So I decided that why don't I give you a call? And you are sort of a head of SDR, right? Like that you are the one that makes sure that SDRs are doing their job, right? So yeah. So I decided to give you a call to see if you guys could be interested in this platform. Maybe you're using something like that or not. So,
yeah, we used our own internal tool, but we use Outreach for sending.
Yeah, you know what? I make actually we are well integrated with Outreach, and just sometimes it happens that when you send too many emails, you know, it end up many of those emails end up in spam. So, Colin, listen, we have this 7 days trial, and that is free. Right. And I really think that your company can benefit from our software. I have your email address. It's colin@predictablerevenueinc.com. Is that correct?
Yep.
Can I send you a link to the free trial for 7 days so you can test it out? I know that you guys can benefit from it, and then if you use the software, you will make sure that SARS email will never end up in spam folder. Sounds good? Will you test
it? That sounds great. I'm in.
Okay, Colin, great. Well, I'll send you that link right away, and you let me know if you have any questions or problems with the free trial, okay?
That sounds great. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you, Colin. Have a good one now. Take care.
Thanks. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show. The tool that he mentioned, if you didn't catch it, is Folderly.io. So if you want to check that out, Folderly, like a folder, folding in half, Folderly.io. Michael, if people want to pick your brain, want to reach out, say thanks for coming on the show, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Reach out to me via LinkedIn or at michael@folderly.io. I am available. Just ask me questions, or if you guys have any vulnerability problems, we have a consulting services to help you to audit your infrastructure and help you to fix it.
Fantastic. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure, Colin. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you all next week. All right. Shout out to Predictable Revenues, Service LinkedIn Outbound, Service for sponsoring this video. As a founder and sales leader myself, I know most of the best practices in terms of like what I need to be doing on LinkedIn. But sometimes I just don't have the time. You know what the right things to do are, but it just comes down to a trade-off of where's my time better spent? And can I find somebody to click around on LinkedIn for me and book meetings, you know? And then I can focus on higher level activities. And so think about it. What's the best use of your time? If you're a founder, sales leader, and you have a team, you need some meetings, I'd encourage you to check it out. I'm using it myself. I'm obviously the founder, so I'm eating our own dog food. But if you're curious, click the link below to learn more.